Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Mission Accepted. What a great day it's going to be. You know why? Because you guys are the best audience ever. Ooh, I don't know. Have I called you the best audience ever before? I think so. I think you're going to get a new name today. You guys are the most courageous. You guys are the most courageous audience that we ever have. Anyways, you know that I am so appreciative of everything you do, sending in your questions, giving comments, feedback, sharing. That's what we're here to do. And we have a wonderful guest. And if you are watching the video, you know her favorite color. You know her favorite color. And here's a question if you don't. It's the exact same color that was my favorite color for a long time. I had a massage table, the first massage table to my holistic health studio that I did 30,000 clients on, and it was purple. So if you're like, oh, I see this amazing woman and I, you know, her color, she's got these two bold colors going on with this gorgeous, gorgeous turquoise background. And yes, she is dressed in purple. So happy to have Trish Springsteen with us from what some people would say is down under. This woman is all about courage. We're going to talk about that because why? This is the Mission Accepted, you know, podcast show. Like people that come on here, you know, they've taken a leap. And we get to laugh and learn with them on why they stay on the mission. So Trish, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely delighted, Deb. Absolutely delighted.
Now look, you're known as many things. You are a multiple author. I was talking about the power of doing multiple books yesterday on the Stand Up, Speak Up, Show Up event that you will be participating in, as well as being in our book. Let's talk a little bit about that when I'm asking some questions. But you're a multiple author. You are an incredible motivational speaker. You help people with all sorts of things in relationship to their business that you yourself have done around branding and standing out and expressing and finding voice and all that great stuff. And I know that we get to have you for a little bit here. We're going to do more than one show. So you guys be ready. So we're going to do a 3-part series because everything that Trish has to say is really valuable and we just can't get it into one show. But for someone who has done all of that, where did you start and why did you decide to start? Like, where did the mission come from and how long have you been playing this entrepreneurial I'm a rock star game?
Oh, way back in the Jurassic period is what I say. Way, way, way back in the Jurassic period when I left high school, I was a very, very shy, introverted person. And if you had spoken to any of my small group of friends, because introvert, small group of friends, that's all I was happy with, that I would one day be here speaking with you, speaking around the world, helping people, writing books, they would have fallen around the floor laughing, lady. They would have fallen around the floor laughing because that was not me. I had no concept of even owning my own business. I actually started out wanting to be a librarian. I wanted to be a librarian because I love reading. You know, at that stage back then, if you'd seen me, I had a book in my hand and I was in the corner. And wherever I was, I'd find a place to sit and read or I'd people watch. That was just me. So I thought a librarian would be a great career for someone coming out of high school until I found out that librarians didn't actually sit around reading. They had to actually talk to people that came in and catalog and do all the things that I'm just no good at. So I thought, okay, forget the librarian. So then I thought I'd be a medical records administrator because I could sit in the bottom of the hospital and code, you know, and be nice. And nope, forget about that one as well because I went away and studied for 2 years, came back to my home and there was no jobs. So where did I go? Well, the peculiar thing is I ended up in the travel industry. And yeah, I know you're going to say, but you're supposed to speak to people in the travel industry. I actually didn't think about that. I thought all I had to do was put people on travel. You know, they didn't have to speak to me. They could just pass me a piece of paper and say, this is where we want to go. Anyway, in that area, I had to go to meetings. Mm-hmm. Now, my concept of a network meeting was to walk in the door, find the tallest pot plant, look at the clock, find the exit sign, and I'd hide behind the pot plant for 10 minutes, and then I'd walk out. And my bosses would say, did you go to the network meeting? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Did you meet anybody? Was I supposed to meet people at the network meeting? You just told me to go. You didn't tell me I had to meet people. So that was sort of my life. And I fell into different jobs. I did very well on my jobs, but it was jobs where I could just sit behind and, you know, get other people to delegate. So being who I was now, an entrepreneur, and that came at an aha moment. Mm. And one of those aha moments, I grew up in Canberra, which is our capital city in Australia. And it was getting very cold in Canberra. I had my family. I met my husband in Melbourne. That's a whole story about revolving doors. We could go into a whole podcast.
Ooh, okay. You perked up our audience's ear. It's like, ooh, how you met your husband, revolving door.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good story on that one.
This, you know, hotel in New York with a revolving door, and you got stuck in it, and they couldn't find you. You know, they couldn't get to you for hours, and by the time you walked out, you had a ring on your finger. I mean, let's make a movie.
Not quite like that, but pretty close to it, because that was a whole story. We could go down that way if you want, but very short. Very short. You want me to hear how I met my husband?
Oh well, you can't leave us hanging now. So tell us the short story, because we've got time. This is the thing. The Mission Accepted is about having fun, and we always talk about how we take on the mission. And people forget that there's other lives. There's a personal life. There's things that you conquer. There's people in those lives, right? So tell us.
One of those crossroads in time. I could have gone this way. I could have gone that way.
Yeah.
And in our lives, there are loads of crossroads. And a lot of my aha moments happened at crossroads. And I often look back and think, well, if I did that, where would I be now? Mm. Probably not what I'm doing. So I was studying in Melbourne. I was in a flat with my flatmate, and she'd gone out. And I had a raging cold, people, just a picture. Huge red nose, raging cold, tears down, not dressed up. And this guy knocks on the door. And he says, I've come to see my flatmate. And I said, she's out. I wasn't really in a mood to talk to anybody. And he looked at me and he said, just wait there 1 minute. Now, why I waited, I've got no earthly idea. So he trots off, comes back with his glasses on, and he looks me up and down, and he says, hi, I'm Peter. Would you like to go out? I'm thinking, I've got no clues. You want me to go out? When? Oh, you know, 2 days' time. It's my birthday. Want to come out with me? Now, I'm an introvert and I'm shy. Why I said yes, I have no earthly idea. But this is our first date. We go out to dinner. I don't even remember that. We rescue a dog and take it to the dog kennel. We end up on St. Kilda Beach, which is a beautiful beach in Melbourne. The full moon is coming up. The water's coming in. And this guy, Peter, sits down next to me and starts quoting poetry that he has written. Ladies, how can you fight that? How can you possibly fight that? And then a week later, on another day, he says, I'm going to ask you to marry me. And I just looked at him and I said, no, I'm going to Perth to work. I'm not marrying anybody. Yeah, okay. Fast forward. We've been 47 years married in November.
Wow. So
it's like one of those moments where if I'd gone out, would I have met him? Good question.
Not with standing behind the potted plant and hiding out, you wouldn't have.
No.
I think the universe knew they had to deliver your husband because you weren't going to go find them anywhere.
And he is the wind beneath my wings. He is my foundation in everything I've done. We could be as poor as mice. And I say, look, I want to go and do this. This is when I started my business, because businesses have up and downs. And I'd say, I'm going to go and do some marketing. And I'm going to buy this. I'm going to do that. And he says, okay, you go do that. I need to go to the conference. Okay, you go to the conference. I mean, whatever you want to do in your business, you do. So I guess maybe that's how I've got where I am, because I've got a foundation and a rock that thinks I'm the most brilliant person. And when people don't book me or do anything, he's like, don't they know how good you are? You're absolutely awesome. I'm saying, darling, I know you think I'm awesome, but these people take a little bit longer to find out that I'm awesome.
So, oh, yeah, he knew immediately. He knew on date two. He knew on date two.
Did. I know it's hysterically funny because I mean, the bit that I love, I've always puzzled over is why did he go and put his glasses on? And I never figured that bit out.
You know what? Because he was like, she's absolutely gorgeous. Hang on a second. I just got to go double check. He comes back and he knew if he didn't grab you right away, you were going to be swooped up by somebody. So he was like, well, you know what they say about librarians. I mean, as soon as you said librarian, you know, men are like, I like that look.
That's sort of my story, which is like,
okay, we can end this podcast here. No. Let's talk. This is all about courage. So look at, so Peter had the courage. And so did you, obviously, to step in and to be crooned by poetry and absolutely. Oh,
I was lost, even though I told him I wasn't going to get married. I mean, what can you do? I knew it was, I was gone. I was a goner, but I wasn't going to let him know that quicker.
All right. Okay. So tell us how you came into being an entrepreneur, other than having like an incredible support behind you. Tell us.
So before we got sidetracked, I'd moved up to Brisbane and I was studying full time or part time, working full time, had a family, and we didn't know anybody because I left all my family and way down in Canberra. So one day I said to this acquaintance, I said, well, I need to find out. You know, I need to make some friends. I need to go somewhere to make some friends. You know, this is a pretty courageous moment because, hey, still shy. And so this person said, I know a club. You just go in there and you'll make loads of friends. So I took a deep breath, walked in the door, and then I nearly, if he'd been in front of me, I would have killed him because it was a Toastmasters club. And they wanted me to speak. Can you just understand? I mean, here I am, shy, and I still hadn't got fully into my, I don't care whether you like purple or not, I'm wearing it. So I was, you know, still teetering on believing myself. I actually, at that stage, people had no concept that I was anything special, no concept that I had a message. I could not speak. I didn't believe there was anything that was special, message, or anything that I could do. So I'm still a member of Toastmasters. It's nearly 30 years. I go there to play. I know that they actually like me saying that, but that's where I go to play and keep my skills up and to give back. Because what they did was find me a group of people, and that's why I am very passionate about like-minded people that support you, that you can, that will push you out of the nest. And boy, did I need pushing out of the nest, I can tell you. That nest was really, really comfortable. I really wasn't wanting to go anywhere. But I found the courage. I found that I love speaking and I found that I love training. And so that was probably an aha moment at that crossroads. If I hadn't gone to this meeting, where would I be now? Good question. At that meeting, that sort of started me on that. And that's where I met a really good friend who became my then business partner. And we'd been doing all of this stuff for free. And we looked at each other one day and said, why aren't we getting paid for it? So we took a deep breath and opened my business. And that was sort of the start of the entrepreneurial journey, which had loads of ups and downs and aha moments in of itself. I sort of fall into certain things. And sometimes I have like, oh, my gosh, can I just go back to bed and pull the sheets over my head? Find me a corner. Where's my book? I don't want to be here. But you do. You have to. And as I've had now, you've got to keep moving forward on the journey. Because if you don't move forward, you stagnate. Well, it doesn't matter whether your business and your life, whatever it is your journey is, even if it's only a little inch on that journey or centimeter or whatever the term is, because yeah, I'm now old. You know why I say Jurassic period. Even if you take that little first step, it's movement. Mm-hmm. And movement is change and movement is growth. And so every time I come to an aha moment, and there's been some really good aha moments and there's been some really sad aha moments. But when I look back on my journey, each one has been a movement forward and each one has been what's made up who I am now. And it took me many years to believe in who I am. Many, many, many years.
So let's break, this is kind of, unpack a little bit of that. So it sounds like you kind of went into training first and coaching and training and teaching and learning. And it does take a long time. I was talking a lot about that yesterday. It takes a long time to get that self-love, understand boundaries, who am I? I mean, I think that just stays with, comes with staying on the planet a little bit, seeing some things, learning some things, watching some people, listening to podcasts. I was listening to a podcast this morning, about, different ways to fundraise and listening to some new technologies. And it is sometimes just moving a little bit forward and moving forward and moving forward. So as we started to, as you started to, fall in love with yourself and know your worth, what did you do to get there? Because there's a lot of people that are standing at the same spot that you were standing at, Trish, where they either have made a move, they're in their business, but they're like, oh, it's tough, even sometimes when you're in your business, to dive deeper, to go bigger, to add a new division. So there's that. So also just to make that first step. So what did you do? Now it's been a lifetime. We feel like it's been a lifetime. I don't know how long you've been in your business and you can share that with us, but what are some of the things that you did to love yourself?
Been in business about 14 years.
Right.
And they've had ups and downs in all of that time.
Yeah.
When we first started the business, we were doing a lot of corporate training, and I still do corporate training and that. But I guess one of the big aha moments for myself, and it's why I do what I do a lot, and this is a trigger warning for people, so just to give you a trigger warning. In 2007, we lost our son Craig to suicide. And it's not something I wish on anybody, but it was a big crossroad moment. I had to do the eulogy for his funeral, and you do not get a second chance for that, Deb. And I wanted to honor his life. And I did that. I stood up, I honored his life. And many times after, people said to me, "How did you manage to do that?" And I processed it months later and realized it was speaking. It was because I had speaking skills. I had the confidence to be able to speak, and I had the techniques and strategies to be able to harness the emotion and still share it, but not let it overwhelm me. And I know people say, "What a weird thing to connect," but it wasn't, because that for me formed a basis of what I'm so passionate about, which is people having the courage and self-belief to speak about whatever they want to speak about. And I'm not just talking business, I'm talking everything in your life. Whether you want to go up to the school and say to the teachers, "I don't like what's happening with my child," or, "I want to do something better for my child." It is an absolute truism for me and belief that if you've got speaking and communication skills, it will help you get your point across. It's no good having all the passion, the belief in the world, unless you can share that. And being able to do that at my son's funeral, I looked back and thought, wow. And if I can do it then, and I never want anybody to have to be in that same situation, but I know that all of us will be in crisis situations or situations where we have to have a voice, where we have to say something. And I want people to be able to have the confidence and belief to do that. That comes from when I realized I could speak to one person, I could speak to 10, 300, 500. I could get up at a moment's of notice and be able to speak on any topic for any period of time at a short notice to any number of audience and have the confidence that I could do something coherently and competently. Would it be fantastic? Maybe not if I had more preparation time, but it didn't matter. And I've proven that. I've been asked to speak at 10 minutes notice to a group of people, and I've had to come up with something, and I've been able to do it. And that is a confidence that takes you into every area of your life. So when I started to have that confidence, I started to think, if I can do that, then who am I not to be able to get up and do anything I want? And from that, I had my 60 seconds of insane courage, which we can talk a little bit more about later. But to me, that is my mantra, to be able to do things. And from that, plus winning my first award. And then getting my first testimonial.
Let's talk about the award. So you went through your personal growth journey. You had had skills prior that you had been practicing on, right? So everybody just practice. So you had the skill, you had a situation, you honed it, you honed your craft, I call it. And then this shy, I can't be a librarian because you have to talk to people, got an award. Talk about that, because we say it often and sometimes people like, oh yeah, I've got an award, or I did a marathon, or I did it. But talk about that, like getting an award.
Okay. There's two major awards that have impacted my life journey. Mm-hmm. At this stage, I wasn't quite so shy. I realized that I had that confidence. When you've got a confidence, you're not so shy. I'm still an introvert, and I'm still an introvert today. Mm-hmm. The opportunity came up to be, award came across my Facebook page, my email, and I looked at this award and I had someone, little voice in my head that I'd been in part of my group. Most I like-minded groups, and I've always found groups of people who support you, push you, tell you the truth. You've got to be honest. You've got to trust that relationship. And I said to them, oh, look, there's this an award, and I've been nominated for it. What do I do with it? I thought I'd just say thank you very much and move on in my life. And I got this horror-stricken voice of saying, no, you need to go further with it. So I did. I nominated for the award. And this one was, there was two at the same time. So this one wasn't a worldwide award. It was a global award. And I thought, crups, I'm from a little small town in Queensland, Australia, which is miles away from everywhere else because, you know, we're down the bottom there and takes a long time to get anywhere. So I thought, how the blazes could someone like me even think to be measured against a worldwide group of people? And I'm a real great person that plans ahead, not. So at about the midnight, it was the deadline, and I think it was like 2 hours to the deadline, and I'd been humming and hawing for the last 3 weeks. People do not do that when you're going in an award. This is not how you do it. This is just how Trish does it. This is a Trish way. So I thought, oh, if I don't do this, my group are going to yell at me. So I thought, okay, 2 hours to go. Boom. Type. Find this, find that, do this, find pictures, find testimonials, find all the things that the stupid questions they're asking me. And I'm thinking, oh, why didn't I plan this a little bit more? So I hit the button at 1 minute to midnight and sent the award off, nomination, filled out the form. Took a deep breath and thought, oh, thank goodness that's over and I can move on with my life. And about 2 weeks later, this email comes across and it says, you're a finalist in the Worldwide Awards for Mentor of the Year, and you're a finalist in the Woman Entrepreneur of the Year. And the award dinner is going to be in San Francisco, America. And I'm like, oh, does that mean I have to go? What am I supposed to do now? It's all your fault, people. You told me to do this. I'm not owning any blame on this at all, people. So I went to San Francisco. I took a jump. And it wasn't easy because we have not a lot of huge money around. It's a long journey. Mm-hmm. And, okay, I said, I'm going to San Francisco for this thing. I thought, even if I don't win, I need to be seen there. I need photos. I need media. I need to leverage this. I'm finally catching up with what you're supposed to do of awards. Mm-hmm. So I went and I won the Worldwide Mentor of the Year and I got the bronze for Woman Entrepreneur of the Year.
Wow. Wow.
And I tell you what.
Applause and people elated listening to that story. Because it's got that, you know, Shiro piece to it, right? It's got that, I didn't know, I'm from a small town, which, you know, everybody could say the same thing that probably applied for the award, you know, and then all the courage and then what confirmation, because it's also faith, right? You didn't have a lot of money. It wasn't like going to San Francisco, was going down the street and all those things that people go through when they're putting themselves on the line like that. An award is you saying, I deserve it. That can be tough for people.
It is. I mean, and can you imagine me? I'm an introvert and I wasn't so shy, but I'm walking into a room of people I have never met in full in my whole life, mm-hmm. in a different country, and having no concept on how award ceremonies go. It was my very first award ceremony. Mm-hmm. And I'd taken some bit of research. So I knew I wanted photos. I wanted interviews. I wanted all this so I could leverage. So I brought the thing back. And when I get to the point sometimes where I think, why am I here? And I doubt myself, I turn around and I pick up my award and I look at it, because that's third party credibility. Someone out there who didn't know me, didn't know about business, in a world of applications and nominations, picked mine out because they thought I was doing something right. So the awards was a very good solid brick in that foundation that says I need to believe in myself. Mm-hmm. Now, the second award that really cemented that belief was I was nominated for an Inspirational Woman Award. Mm. And I just laughed when I got that nomination. I'm ashamed to say, because I didn't think I was inspirational. Deb, inspirational woman who are people who climb mountains, who do all this beautiful charity work for homeless people and for domestic violence. And these are inspirational women. All I do is teach people how to speak and help mentoring them. And that's it. And I'm looking at this inspirational nomination. I'm thinking, these people really need to go and think about who I am, because this is not a category I should be in. And I hadn't learnt my lesson because I still wasn't going to do it. Mm. And I think it was about, at this time it was a day before, so I was a bit quicker. And I said to myself, Trish, after I belted myself around the head, you tell and teach and mentor people to step outside their comfort zone and to grab opportunities and to step up. Who are you not to walk your talk? Who are you not to do that? Mm-hmm. So I entered. I didn't fill out. And it was this time it was a judging one. I had to fill up a panel of judges. And I'm walking into that room thinking, this is just going to be so laughable, because they're going to ask me questions about being inspirational. And all I'm going to be able to tell them is, I help people speak. You know, I help people have the confidence. Where's the freaking inspiration in that, people? So I said that, and I wasn't even going to go to the awards night. I really wasn't, because I'm sitting there with these thoughts in my head. You're not inspirational. That's all I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you taking up space by going to an awards night? And I had a couple of friends who dragged me along. I said, no, you need. I said, well, I'll just wear some clothes. He said, no, you need a nice dress. No, I don't. I'm just going to go and sit at the table. People, was probably one of the few times in my life since I really got confident speaking that I didn't have any words to say when I won that award. And I'm standing there gobsmacked, really, absolutely shocked look on my face, thinking, how the hell did this happen?
Mm.
And what I realized from that is that we do not see ourselves as other people see us. And who am I to be so arrogant to deny someone's perception and words of me?
Mm-hmm.
I came that close to being arrogant and dismissing someone who had the truth, the gratitude for what I've been doing to say that you're inspirational, Trish. And so from that, I have learned to accept of gratitude when people say, you've helped me. I've learned to accept of gratitude when people say, wow, you're doing brilliant things. Because who am I to tell them how to think? And I've had to learn that. And that was a major lesson for me. And by those lessons, it came to the point, well, I have to believe in what I do. Mm-hmm. I really have to, because mm-hmm. these are things that have said and helped me to come to that point in my journey.
Wow. Well, I kind of almost want to go mic drop, because I know that we are going to be delving deeper into this conversation with you. But I think encapsulating that, there's a whole lot there. We talked about how our audience was going to be, you know, are courageous and going to be more courageous. And clearly You talked, that's all about courage. That's all about, I think it's very courageous to, I mean, you know, that whole, you know, 2 hours to go, that 1 hour before, that one day before. I don't think that's unusual. I think that happens a lot more than what people say, because it takes a while to believe that it's happening to you. I mean, look at even some of the awards that you see, like the Grammys or the Emmys or what have you. There is legitimately, you know, celebrities that we, you know, had $40 billion box office. When they win, they're like, yeah, they're shocked. They're like, what? Like, it didn't even think it would happen to them. And these are people that, you know, live in that limelight per se, maybe a little more than we do. So I think that is really self-confirming and self-affirming, like awards and keeping them there and keeping them on your desk. Or, you know, I think we've all had that time where we've kind of put them somewhere where no one can see, and people are like, what are you doing? You know, making them accessible to yourself as well. So kind of in wrapping up our session today about courage, is there anything that you want to say? And I know that a lot of people watch our show visually and they can see that you've got your website there, and it's going to be all in the show notes. But is there anything else that you'd like to share about courage? And then I'm going to ask you a question that's completely not about courage, and let's see where that goes.
Look, courage is, there's all sorts of people to give you definitions about courage, about, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. And to me, courage is just stepping forward. Courage is just thinking, well, what if I don't do it? What's the worst that can happen? And I've started asking myself that question, and I think about what the worst is, and I think, but what is the best? And that means if I take that step forward and just take a deep breath and think about what I'm doing, amazing things can come, amazing things. And if amazing things don't come, that's okay, because you've laid a path where you'll be just that little bit easier stepping forward next time. So courage for me is just taking a deep breath, smiling, and just saying, okay, I'm going to do this and stuff everybody.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much. I feel inspired and motivated. Okay, there you go. So for any of you out there that want an award, deserve an award, have turned down nominations to awards, and you know what? I'll be completely transparent. There was one bank institution that I was nominated 7 times and I did not take the nomination. Now, I took different nominations, but I didn't take that one. And so I will be fully transparent and say that I know exactly what that feels like. So thank you for sharing that. And look, I'm going to ask you a question. It's not the music question that you think that you're going to answer. So don't answer that question. But we love music around here, Trish. It's called Mission Accepted, and it might as well be, you know, Music Mission Accepted. But we just love music and how it moves people, right? It helps people take the mission. It helps you be determined. It helps you sleep at night. It's soul soothing, right? And it can give you like, dun, 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 put on the the Rocky theme. But if you were on your way to a desert island, and that's funny because, you know, you live down under. But if you were on your way to a desert island and you had one piece to take with you and you could only take one album, what would you take? What would you pack today? What album would you take with you today?
Enya.
All right. Look at that.
I absolutely adore everything by Enya. She's perfect. A ballad singer. I want music that I can understand words to. Mm-hmm. So and her songs bring peace. In fact, one of her songs, which is May It Be, is what I played at my son's funeral. And it takes you to the west. And it's from Lord of the Rings that she did. All of her songs are beautiful and lyrical. And if I was on a desert island, I'm going to need a lot of lyrical peace. Thank you, because I'd be extremely stressed.
Okay, you're going to be hanging out with Enya. Thank you so much for being part of Mission Accepted today. And you guys know that I think that you're an amazing audience. And thank you so much for always tuning in. We adore you. And if you are doing something that you feel that you'd like to share on the Mission Accepted podcast, then we want to hear from you. We'd love to see you where Trish is sitting. And look at Trish is part of this big, crazy project that we've got going on, the 262 Project of Stand Up, Speak Up, and Show Up. Yes, you. Now you know that you need to have courage. Yes, you. If you'd like to speak, if you'd like to share the pages of the book with myself and Trish, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to see you part of the project. And if you'd like just to come get filled up with all these incredible speakers that are sharing, then you know on the 8th day of the month to cross it out on your book. Reach out to us and we're going to give you a beautiful Zoom link that you can join us. So if you want to be inspired or motivated, or you'd like to inspire and motivate, we want to hear from you. As always, thank you so much for sharing with us, Trish. I'm looking forward to your next class. I know that you're going to be sharing a lot of things around authenticity and bravery and just more of what you do. So thanks for being with us today. And thanks, you guys. And until we see you again and meet you again, stay well and stay groovy. Bye for now.